You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
It's a new day with Rhett Palmer. How you doing? Glad you're tuned in. I have a good friend of mine here. Her name is Beth Stewart. Good morning.
Good morning, Rhett.
Great to have you here. Now, there's a whole side to your life, a very dramatic side, where you were a bright student. You didn't, maybe you had a perfunctory relationship as a Catholic when you were younger, but you didn't really know the Lord. So we'd like to hear your story of coming out of the darkness you fell into. Go ahead, Beth.
Okay, well, I was at university, and I had gotten into some chemical dependency. I started playing around with my mind with more than my books. And I got kind of scared. I thought, oh my goodness, this has gotten out of hand and I can't stop. I did go home and speak to my parents about it, but they kept looking at my report card and I was a good student. So they thought it can't be that bad and kind of patted me on the head and sent me back. So I was up in Illinois at the time. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going to die from this if I don't do something. So I made a huge move across the country. I was waiting tables in a restaurant, and it was a Red Lobster back then, and they had offered me a chance to join their management team, and one of their training restaurants was down in Clearwater, Florida. So I transferred down there, and to get away from the conditions I was living in. And I started to work there, and lo and behold, I brought myself with me, Rhett. So it didn't change very much.
The geographic change didn't work.
No, it didn't. It didn't help me. And I came to what I would call a second bottom. That first bottom was I was afraid I was going to die. The second bottom was much more profound. I was afraid I wasn't going to die and that I was going to have to live like that, because I couldn't seem to make it stop by myself.
You mean the addiction?
Yeah. So one night in my bedroom, I cried out to a God I heard about as a child. And I just said, Jesus Christ, if you're real, come now, because I will never ask for you again. All I can say is the sobbing stopped immediately. I was sobbing. I was rocking the bed. I was crying so hard. And it just went away. And I remember a voice saying, now that you believe, everything will be okay. Just over and over, now that you believe, everything will be okay. And I felt like someone was maybe tousling my hair a little bit, like a mother's touch almost. And I drifted to sleep. The next morning I got up, and it was more of the same. I didn't know how to live differently, but I knew something had changed. So I got up and I was smoking marijuana with my partner back then. And I said to him, I said, you know, I had this really strange thing happen to me last night, and I told him about it. And I said, don't most people have a Bible in their house? I think we should have a Bible in our house. So he went out to the bookstore and bought a Bible. And I started to read it like an academic quest. Mm-hmm. And within
from Genesis,
I just started reading all over, and within 3 weeks, I was clean and not drinking, not using drugs.
So you were cleansed by the Word of God.
Just
so you were reading it continually.
And then it's funny because then I the poor man, I looked at him and I said, you know, I'm not gonna marry you. And it's not right that I live with you. I have to move. I moved out. My poor boyfriend from college was like, wait, what do you mean?
Wait, I'm the guy that puts you the Bible.
And I moved, and I...
He must have been bewildered.
He was bewildered. He tried to seek Christ himself because he wanted to... He knew that I was pretty steadfast in this. And anyway...
Now, having been a Catholic growing up, you must have been comfortable with the name of Jesus. Some people are offended by it, or, you know.
I would say, Rhett, that my Catholic upbringing I knew about Jesus. I just didn't know him. I knew about him academically, and I knew the stories, and I knew what I was reading in the Bible. I had heard it, meant much of it before.
Mm.
I just didn't know it in a personal way. So it's kind of like the difference between reading a story that you love and then reading a story that somebody in your family wrote. It was a difference like that. It's like I knew the story, but it was different. It was personal in some special way.
I guess that's
why
we have to be careful. Billy Graham has said, most people get just enough that they never get it, like an inoculation. In other words, if you're just a pew sitter, you know, there are Catholics that are certainly born again and love the Lord, and there's Catholics that are not, and there's Protestants, and there's Baptists, and every denomination, there's people that actually are the wheat, and there's people that are, up to this point, chaff.
But, you know, the seeds were planted, because
yeah.
I remember very clearly in second grade at St. Cajetan in school, where I went to grammar school, a Catholic school, there was a nun there. Her name was Sister Augustino. She was probably in her 20s. I only saw her face. Everything else on her body was covered except maybe her hands. And she had a mustache. I remember thinking, she has a mustache. Not a strong mustache, but she had one. But I know she knew God. I remember she knew God. I knew there was something different about her. She knew him like other people didn't know him.
It's amazing how some people stand out. They're a witness just by their life.
Well, she planted the seed. I think it was because of her that I called on the name of Jesus Christ. Because I thought of her, actually, that night. So when you hear all the parables Jesus gave us about planting, and that sometimes somebody else will sow that seed that you plant. So you sow the seed, somebody else may harvest it. And it might be 30 years later, 20 years later, 50 years later. But keep planting seeds, because you never know. They might fall on deaf ears when you're talking to them, but you never know where the Holy Spirit sticks that seed. It might be caught somewhere where it's going to come back to them over and over.
You know, I never heard that side of your story before. You said you woke up in the morning, said, I want a Bible. Your boyfriend buys you a Bible, and then you were religiously, or whatever it is, just deliberately read it for the next few weeks, and it actually had a fruition. That's the first I've heard of that.
Well, it's funny because I'm from a very large family, that Irish Catholic family that I came from. I'm one of 10 children. I'm sixth of 10. And when you're in a big family, you want to be good at something. I had a brother that was good at sports. I had another, you know, people are good at certain things. Mine was academics. So I could take a book and read it and pass the test. I was a good test taker. I was good in school. So when you handed me a Bible after I had left university, it was my only study book. I studied it like it was, I had to take a test on it. And yes, it did. But the Holy Spirit definitely came into me that night, because it did change me. I'd like to tell a story about that conversion.
Please.
There's a, it's funny because I lived in a house with my boyfriend and two other men, his brother and another man, and they all worked together. And across the street, there was an elderly woman. Her name was Viva Clay. And she, for some reason, whenever I went out to the mailbox, she went out to the mailbox. I didn't realize, now that I'm looking back, she was sowing seeds. She was out there trying to get me to talk and seeing our lifestyle, and probably afraid for us a little bit. But so the day after I had my born-again experience, I was out at the mailbox, and she said, I started to tell her about it. And she said, oh, honey, you were born again. I've been praying for you. And I said, no, I'm sure it wasn't that. And she said,
You were not familiar with the terminology.
She said it. I said, no, I'm sure it wasn't that. And she goes, no, it was. That's what happened. And I said, no. I'm sure it was not that. And she said, well, why are you so sure? And back then, Rhett, they used to have television. You know, we're going back 40 years.
Yeah.
So back then, they had television commercials about trying to feed the hungry in Africa. And they would show video of little African children with huge distended bellies from hunger. Mm-hmm. And I think it was the United Nations International Children's Educational Fund. But they were trying to get people to donate. And so when she said, why are you sure it's not that? I said, I would have to go to Africa and feed those kids. And I don't want to go to Africa and feed those kids if that's what it is. And she started laughing. She goes, oh, honey, you just don't know them yet. And I said, what do you mean? And she said, that's not how Jesus works. And I said, well, how does he work? And she said, well, If you're meant to feed those little African children, it'll start like this. You'll read a book, maybe, and Africa will be in the backdrop, and you'll think, wow, that sounds like a lovely place. And then maybe you'll watch a program, and Africa will be the backdrop. And you'll say, oh, someday I'm going to go there. And then somebody you know will, you'll meet somebody from Nigeria, and they'll really hit you up. And she goes, by the time you're on that boat or that plane going to feed those children, there will be nothing you want to do more. That's how Jesus works. And I always remembered that. He does use our passions to our full advantage. We are all different, and we are all called for different things.
Well, he says, if you seek me, I'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, that could be taken two ways. I'll give you the desires you already have, or I will implant the desires of what... You know, I was talking to someone just this morning saying, you know, God can only bless us if we're walking, you know?
That's right. But the reality is, for many of the people of God, He uses our lowest point as our place for passion. And now, that's what He's done in my life.
Your lowest point. Yeah, well, it is written that Jesus was a man acquainted with many sorrows, and I guess that was in His training as a child. So have there been a lot of tribulations in your life?
Well, I think the drug addiction part is a place where He's going to use me to help other people. I understand that. I've been there. I don't judge them the way others that have never understood that you can't just not take a drink.
By the way, you have a ministry. What's the website?
It's called WeCovering.com.
WeCovering?
WeCovering. WeRecovering.com. And we have lots of little tools there. Thanks for asking about
Instead of recovering, it's WeCovering.
That's right, because we do it together. It
Very
takes
good.
A we.
You'd never have to be alone again, they
That's
say.
That's right. That's yeah. right.
All right. Well, listen, if you want to hear the rest of Beth's story, of course, you can tune into my broadcast from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. Thank you very much, Beth.
Thank you,
Stewart.
Red. It was wonderful to be here.
Nivella Casa Corp is a family-owned, woman- and minority-certified business dedicated to janitorial, commercial, post-construction, and residential cleaning, providing service to doctors' offices, schools, private daycares, commercial buildings, and clubhouses. Nivella Casa can be reached at NivellaCasaCorp.com or call 561-202-4626, providing service to Palm Beach, Broward, and Martin counties. Morningside Academy, the first private school in Port St. Lucie, has been providing academics with excellence since 1987. Morningside Academy offers private Christian education in a godly atmosphere, teaching truths that will last a lifetime. Morningside Academy provides excellence in academics, athletics, and the arts while developing Christ-like leaders for today and in the future. For more information about Morningside Academy, call 772-335-3231.
I'm Rick Addison, pastor of the Grace Place Church. Our current sermon series is entitled, The Blessed Life. Join us for worship Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. or online at thegraceplace.com. We're located at 1550 Salerno Road, Stuart, Florida. You can call us at 772-287-6388. At The Grace Place, we celebrate God.